tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we have another subversive LGBTQ operation. In this case, this time, it's to subvert children's toys and claim that they are transgender. And we've got a news story from Britain here and a news story from America. I mean, Grandpa Dan last week was saying that all these problems, we still have them in Britain, but we don't have them in America. Well, we do still have some of these woke problems in America. But the first news article that I have here comes from GB News. And the headline is, "Beloved children's teddy bears are transgender," says taxpayer-funded exhibition. The exhibition first appeared as a physical display at Melton Carnegie Museum in Melton Mowbray before transitioning to a digital format. So they've certainly got the buzzwords in there, haven't they? Transitioning. Beloved children's teddy bears are transgender, a taxpayer-funded exhibition has claimed. Well, they're non-gender, aren't they, really, teddy bears? I should imagine that a teddy bear, if it did actually have sex organs, that would be completely unacceptable for a children's toy. I mean, they're non-gendered, effectively, because children don't think about those sorts of things at that age. They just see boys and girls. They're little boys and little girls, effectively. They don't really think about gender and differences. When I was a little boy, I used to read some of my sister's comics, just because I used to like reading comics. I think she used to play with some of my toys, some of my Tonka toys and my toy cars and things like that. It certainly didn't mean that we were gender fluid or transgender or anything like that. It just means that you don't really think about these things when you're a child. You don't think about gender, and you don't want to think about gender either, because that would add all of this sort of confusion in there. I guess as you get a bit older, you might laugh and say, "Well, look, the teddy bear doesn't have any bits, and these dolls don't have any bits either." But of course, that's when you're a little bit older, not when you're the sort of age that you're going to have a children's teddy bear. A public-funded exhibition has declared that certain Care Bears characters are transgender or gender fluid, drawing on money from Arts Council England to advance its claims. Care Bears were huge in the 80s, but I don't recall there ever being any discussion at the time about them being transgender or gender fluid. I mean, that terminology never existed at that time. You had transvestites, which were men that wore women's clothes, and that was it. You didn't have this idea that they actually were real women. The Villiers Revealed project, produced by Culture Leicestershire, describes the beloved children's toy line as a symbol for the LGBTQA+ community, while seeking to spotlight what it calls trans narratives erased by colonialism. What they're sort of implying there, they're implying that these non-civilized peoples in places like America and India, that they had transgender traditions, and that somehow with our white supremacy, we got rid of these traditions, which were really positive traditions. Well, the British Empire is quite proud of the fact that it got rid of some of these sorts of traditions. For instance, in India, it got rid of the tradition of throwing your wife on the fire. When the husband dies, the wife would be thrown alive onto the funeral pyre alongside him. And that's the sort of tradition that we got rid of. The sort of traditions that we got rid of in Africa was slavery, cannibalism, all these sorts of things we got rid of. And this idea of these trans narratives raised by colonialism, I should imagine that the tribes people themselves were probably quite pleased that things like that were actually erased from their traditions. Originally created by the American Greetings Card Company in 1981, Care Bears became one of the decade's most recognisable children's brands, encompassing both toys and animated characters. The exhibition first appeared as a physical display at Melton Carnegie Museum in Melton Mowbray before transitioning to a digital format. Its creator, John Slay, explained the shift online by noting that some people simply aren't ready or able to access queer spaces physically. So it probably wasn't actually that popular when they had this museum piece. So what they've done is they've now put it online, because these sorts of things, they aren't really very popular. I mean, as we heard on Friday's podcast with Grandpa Dan, with these library books that have all got this LGBTQ propaganda in them, they're not popular. The children don't want to read them. And the only reason why they're in places is because the librarians and the teachers purchase them and then they force them on the children. And it's the same with this. I doubt whether anybody went to this museum piece. They were not interested in it. So now it's transitioned to being online. At the heart of the exhibition's Care Bears analysis is Funshine, a character portrayed as both male and female at different points since the franchise's inception. Now, quite interestingly, when we're actually a fetus, the human fetus, they all start out as apparently female looking, but then the male fetus continues to evolve, and it evolves the male sexual organs effectively, which is the difference between them. So everybody starts out as one particular gender in the womb, and then 50% of them evolve, if they further evolve, into another gender. So it's not really that different. It doesn't make mean that everybody is transgender, does it? That's just a normal part of life. So I wouldn't have thought that this implies that this Care Bear is transgender. The project holds up Funshine as a potential role model for the LGBTQA plus community. Now, you can just imagine, like, liberal left-wing mothers now buying their little boys these Care Bears and this Funshine Bear, trying to encourage them to be transgender. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we have such a large increase in transgenderism, is because it has become very trendy for parents to have transgender children. There are celebrity actresses with more than one transgender child in their family. And as I say, this instance of what used to be transgenderism, transvesticism, it was a tiny, 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 tiny minority of people that actually had that. The chances of having two or three transgender children are pretty much impossible. You know, the only reason why you could have that is because the parent, one of the parents, is promoting it to them. The exhibition claims having a character like Funshine who transitions with a positive characterization sends a strong message to those going through a similar change. As if it's just a completely natural thing that a boy might change into a girl and then have to mutilate themselves and castrate themselves, or that the girl might have to cut their breasts off. It's absolutely horrendous when you think of what these poor people end up actually doing to themselves. And then we have people like this that are promoting it and referring it to a strong message to those going through a similar change. Positive characterization. How can it be positive to be doing damage like that to your body? More broadly, the project argues that the bears offer inspiration because they disrupt gender norms through their expression of their true selves, but are accepted regardless. Well, all teddy bears aren't gendered. I mean, it's not just these Care Bears. They're not disrupting gender norms. It's normal for a teddy bear to not have a gender or not to have sexual organs. And if they did have sexual organs, then whoever bought that for a child would be a bit of a pervert, really, wouldn't they? Drawing attention to it. The exhibition's primary subject is the Jacobean court, particularly George Villiers, who is widely believed to have been the gay lover of King James I. Alongside such historical figures, the project examined various objects considered to possess queer resonance. And this is something that they quite often do. They will go back through history and they will claim that somebody from history was in actual fact gay, or they were transgender, or they might have been black. I mean, quite often now we're told that the Vandals and the King of Africa and the people that occupied North Africa in the 4th century AD were told that they were black. Of course, they were Africans, so they must have been black. Well, they weren't black. They were the Germanic tribe, the Vandals. They were the ones there in North Africa, and before that it was the Romans. And the Romans certainly weren't black. So we have this black washing of history, and now we have the trans washing of history and the gay washing of history, where they claim that famous characters in the past were actually homosexual. Of course, this homosexual lifestyle is a modern Western innovation. It never existed in the past. A lifestyle to go with it, this desire to be married and be the same as heterosexuals. None of that existed. Sodomy was a form of dominance, the same as it is with dogs when they mount one another. It's a form of dominance. It's not a lifestyle thing, and we never had this homosexual lifestyle either. I think we might have had oversexed males that might have engaged in this sort of thing, but they would have also been married. It would have been similar to the way that it is in Muslim countries today, where they don't say we don't have a gay lifestyle. There's no such thing, but there is still buggery, and you will still get these Muslim males that will bugger younger boys, but they won't say that they're homosexual. They won't say that they're gay. They don't think that they are for doing it, because they don't lead this gay lifestyle. This is a Western thing. So to project that back in the past to King James I and claim that he had a gay lover, I just think is completely unbelievable. Mermaids, for instance, are interpreted through this lens on the basis that their genitalia is not visible and therefore is irrelevant to their gender expression. Yeah, but mermaids have breasts, don't they? So you can see that they're female. It's quite obvious that a mermaid is female. The exhibition also addresses the legacy of the British Empire, arguing that colonial rule led to the suppression of queerness and the repression and erasure of queer and trans identities. As I said, I think I mentioned this earlier, that it also erased the burning of wives on the funeral pyre, and it also erased cannibalism and slavery. And was there really, are they trying to say here that there was this gay lifestyle that was suppressed by the colonial rule? I don't think it was. I mean, you might have had men that dressed up as women and then sold themselves out as prostitutes, which you still get in places like India and Afghanistan. But again, that wasn't seen as a queer or a trans identity. It wasn't seen as a lifestyle thing. It was so that women didn't have to effectively do that. And that's why these men that did that, why they would dress up as women. That's why you have this tradition of ladyboys in Thailand and in India. It hasn't been erased by colonial rule. I mean, they've even tried to say that it's only because of colonial rule that places like Botswana and these African countries, why they still lock people up for sodomy. They claim that this was a colonial thing, but it's always been seen as unnatural. It's not only the British that saw it as unnatural. It's always been seen as unnatural because you're not going to be able to produce children at the end of it. And it's the opposite of what every other creature in the natural world does. I mean, I was talking in the chat room the other day, and I was saying it's rather like you have a plug and it fits in the plug socket. You don't put two plugs together, the plug goes in the plug socket, and it's like everything in the world is based around that. So to think that that's not correct and it must be something else, I mean, that shows a disorder. It shows a disordered mind to be doing something like that. So I don't think that it was the British Empire that erased this. I think these tribes would have been against this anyway. It contends that colonialism disproportionately erased fluidity in gender and sexuality, particularly among black, brown, indigenous, and other people of colour. Are you talking about the people of colour that used to run around naked? You're talking about the people of colour that used to and still do mutilate their genitals? Don't we have a thing called female genital mutilation? Another thing that white supremacy has tried to suppress. I would say when you actually look at things in the whole, the British Empire and colonialism did far, far, far more good than it did bad. The video's revealed project sits within a broader trend of applying gender identity frameworks to well-known historical figures, a practice that has drawn criticism for viewing the past through an anachronistic queer lens. And that's saying what I was saying, that we didn't actually have this gay lifestyle back then. It's a modern invention of the Western world. And it certainly didn't have this lifestyle amongst these other tribes either. And that's effectively what they're saying here. It's looking at the past through an anachronistic queer lens, the same as when the black watch the past. It's looking through an anachronistic multicultural lens. In 2023, the Victorian poet Alfred Lord Tennyson was identified as an LGBT historical figure during a school tour on the Isle of Wight, despite there being no substantive evidence supporting the claim that he was gay. I mean, what about the memory of these people that they now say are homosexual? I mean, is it not slandering them to claim that they were actually homosexual when they were not homosexual? What about the family of these people, the descendants of these people that they now claim to be lawbreakers and homosexual? They don't give any thought to them, do they? They just want to claim these people from the past so that they can promote this ideology today. A year earlier, Shakespeare's Globe altered Joan of Arc's pronouns to they, them in promotional material for a production about the French patron saint. So like when they claimed that Shakespeare himself was actually a black woman. They did that a few months back. They're continually doing this. They're continually taking historical figures from the West and then desecrating them by claiming that they were homosexual or they were trans or they were, in actual fact, black. It's all part of this general push to degrade white people's history. The same theatre went further still, suggesting that Elizabeth I may have been non-binary. Elizabeth I, wasn't she known as the Virgin Princess or the Virgin Queen? I don't think she ever married. So what they're doing here is they're smearing celibacy. And they're claiming that if somebody was celibate, they must have, in actual fact, been non-binary or trans or homosexual. They don't seem to understand that in the past, people were able to be celibate. It was just something that people did. There is a theory that one of the reasons why the British Empire was so successful is because of celibacy, because sexuality was repressed in the British Empire. So instead of going out and having as much sex as they could, men were sublimating that sexual urge into colonialism, basically going to these other countries and building new countries. And then they would spend a long time without their wife, and then they would bring their wife out there. And you have all these civilizations that were started by the British Empire. And one of the reasons why I say the British Empire was so successful is because it repressed sexuality, because it had enforced celibacy on a lot of people. I did do a narration about this. So I forget what the name of the book was, but there is a narrations series that we did about it. That's it. Are We a Declining Race? It was called, and it was written, I think it was written before the First World War. Very interesting theory anyway. GB News has approached Culture Leicestershire for a comment. And of course they haven't responded, or at least GB News has not published their response. So what do we have there? Well, we have a museum exhibition that is effectively promoting homosexuality and teaching a warped view of history, a completely warped view of history in attempts to indoctrinate the youth of today. And that's the same thing that's going on in this other article that I have here that comes from America. This comes from Breitbart. The headline is, Minnesota splashes taxpayer cash on trans dolls for classroom four-year-olds in waltz-backed push. Well, I'm surprised they're doing it with trans dolls. I mean, all they had to do was to get some Care Bears in, didn't they? But, I mean, it's the same thing that is going on here. Minnesota is ready to hand transgender dolls with removable, interchangeable genitals to children as young as 4 years old in their school classrooms. And, of course, I made the point earlier that if you had dolls with genitalia, whoever was giving that to children would be some kind of pervert, wouldn't they? Drawing attention to that. And that's effectively what they're doing in Minnesota. They want to be doing this. They want to draw attention to this. They want to sexualize the children under this guise of not leaving trans people out, effectively, going into this myth that there are trans kids or there are LGBTQ kids. When it's not something that you could really decide, I don't think, until you've actually gone through puberty and become grown into what biology wanted you to actually be. To say that somebody of 3 or 4 years old can make a decision that they're going to be transgender and that they should be given these dolls, I think is madness. The New York Post reports a first of their kind multi-sex dolls will debut in some Minnesota classrooms this fall, with junior students specifically targeted. So specifically targeting the youngest ones to tell them that they don't actually have to be a boy or they don't actually have to be a girl. And these dolls, interestingly enough, they're also black. Now, I'm sure there was a report or a study done a while back that showed that black children would rather play with white dolls anyway. They reject the black dolls if they're given a choice. But they're being given black dolls here. And I guess Minnesota does have a large Somali population, so it might actually be Somalis that have been given these dolls. The paper dolls with gender neutral names like Sam, Rory, Avery and Parker have removable internal and external genitalia, along with more than 100 interchangeable pieces of clothing, accessories and hairstyles, like a trans Mr. Mrs. Potato Head, the Post report notes. I do think this is really quite sinister to be doing this with dolls. I mean, dolls always used to have no genitalia at all. I mean, just the idea of putting that on them, it sexualizes the doll and it sexualizes the children, gets them sort of interested in these things before they would naturally be interested in them. The outlet further records the goal is for kids to learn about the different options that exist for who they can be. So it's literally telling them this falsehood that they can actually change gender, that they have the option to be whatever gender they want to be, rather than they are what they are. They are what they were born into. The orthodox belief is that the body is an outgrowth of the soul. It's not that they're two separate things, the body and soul. It's rather like a rainbow. One of the colours of the rainbow is the body, and another of the colours of the rainbow is the soul. So it's all part of the same. So it's not that you can actually be born into the wrong body. But that's what's being promoted here. Learn about the different options that exist for who they can be, rather than what I think they should be teaching children, which is to be happy in the gender that they are actually in. I think they should be doing things that only boys can do for boys and doing things that only girls can do for girls to make them, to reinforce their gender rather than confuse their gender, which is what they're doing today. And then they wonder why they've got so many children with gender dysphoria. It's because they're deliberately being confused about it by their educators. According to a therapist at the University of Minnesota Medical School, which spent over half a decade developing the controversial project made possible by leftist Minnesota Governor Tim Walz through the generous splashing of taxpayer funds. The move is part of a project under the auspices of the school's Eli Coleman Institute for Sexual and Gender Health. Is it healthy to be teaching children this? I don't think it is healthy to be teaching children to be confused about their gender. The My Gender Dolls website offered a few details about the project, but said join the waiting list and launching 2026. The site explained, built to help children tell their stories and see themselves represented. My Gender Dolls promote resilience, confidence and joy through a structured engaging play. So seeing themselves represented with interchangeable genitalia, that you can just cut the genitalia off and swap it for another one. Is that a good thing to be teaching children? My gender dolls are designed for the clinicians and educators who show up for these kids every day, providing developmentally appropriate, evidence-informed resources that didn't exist before. As if we never raised children before and we need to have new innovations now in order to raise them. You know, we've been raising children for thousands of years and we didn't need to invent things like this to give them and tell them that they can just cut their genitalia off and swap it for another genitalia when they're an adult, and that will actually change what sex they are. The dolls come with interchangeable accessories and removable and swappable genitalia to help children realize all the different options that exist for who they can be, regardless of their body parts. University of Minnesota postdoctoral fellow Ben Parchin, PhD, has explained. So it is literally telling them that they can just chop out and swap their genitalia for whichever ones they prefer, teaching them that they can choose which genitalia they have. I mean, this is so dangerous to be teaching children this. He is quoted in a now deleted article in the University of Minnesota Foundation's magazine per a report by Fox News Radio. So they've actually deleted this article. But it wouldn't. I mean, they're still going to go ahead with it. There's no indication that they're not going to be teaching children this. It's going on in Minnesota to the Somalis now, but I'm sure it will also be promoted to white children as well, just the same as the Care Bears exhibition. The transgender Care Bears exhibition is being promoted to white children. You certainly have to be very careful today about what it is that the teachers are teaching your children. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.